Family relationships shape us all profoundly. Our sense of what it means to love and to be loved and how we should treat others and what we should expect from others is greatly shaped by our relationships with those who cared for us and guided us during our formative years, as well as by those with whom we share our lives today. For good, bad, or somewhere in between, our family members are a part of who we are. It's not surprising, then, that the Lord used a story of family, about a father and two sons, to explain today's gospel. This is a rather familiar gospel to many, as it reminds us and helps us see more clearly who we truly are in relation to our Heavenly Father. For no matter how far we have run away from our identity as the beloved children of God, He desires our restoration. He runs to greet the repentant sinner and welcomes us back into the family. Certainly no one in that time and place would have expected the father in the story to do anything like what he did. Even the prodigal son himself asked only to become a servant in his father's house, for he knew what he had done by asking for his inheritance. He basically told his father that he meant nothing to him but a source of money. And since his old man would not hurry up and die, he wanted his inheritance so that he could have nothing more to do with him ever again. And perhaps somehow the father knew that the son needed to learn the consequences of his tragic choices and learn from his mistakes. Because soon no one treated him like a son, but instead like a lowly servant, so miserable that he would have happily eaten the slop that was fed to the pigs. At his lowest, the young man came to himself and realized what he had done and who he had become. He knew that he had dealt a fatal blow to his relationship with his father. But maybe the old man would take him back, if only as a servant. As he came close to the house, however, the young man was amazed to see his father running out to greet him, and then to restore him fully as his son. He did not speak a critical word of the young man. He only showed him love and rejoiced that a lost son had returned home, and that the one who was dead to him had been restored to life. We must learn from this parable that there are no limits to our Lord's mercy, no restraints on his compassion or on his forgiveness for those of us who humbly take that journey back home. Consequently, we must not avoid repentance out of fear that God might reject us or that we have somehow done something so terrible that he would never welcome us back. His mercy extends to us if we return to him in the depths of our hearts. This is truly one of the most famous parables in the Gospels. But this parable should make us feel a bit uncomfortable because it reveals a truth many of us would rather not acknowledge. We are all prodigal sons and daughters. We have all foolishly rejected our true identity as God's beloved children. We have all placed, at some time or another, self-pride and self-centeredness before maintaining our relationship with God and our brothers and sisters. And as a result, we have all made ourselves and others miserable in ways large and small. All I do is remember back to my teenage years, and the only thing I have to say is, Mom and Dad, I'm sorry. St. Paul knew that the children of God are called to blessedness and not misery. That is why he reminded the Corinthians that their bodies were temples of the Holy Spirit. In every dimension of our existence, Christ calls us to holy joy, not to self-indulgence that alienates us from him and from our true selves. But that was exactly what happened to the prodigal son. He hit rock bottom. Many of us may not be able to imagine something like that happening to us, but we must be careful to not minimize the gravity of even what appear to be small sins. For the more comfortable we get in choosing ourselves over God and neighbor, the less attuned we will be to say, the less attuned we will be to how what we say, what we think, and what we do perhaps might weaken our ability to live faithfully. Because at its core, sin of any kind is a damaging of relationship. And when we do that, we essentially ask God for our inheritance and then use God's blessings however we please. We end up living as God were no longer our Father and we were no longer his children. And often this leads us to residing in a pigsty of one kind or another, enslaved to our sins, and living a life that is void of the dignity that is due a child of God. And there's another character in this parable for us to consider also. The elder brother refused to join the celebration for his brother's return. And I find it poignant that when the father referred to the prodigal as your brother, the elder brother would only call him this son of yours. Apparently, he no longer viewed him as a brother. And the great irony is that at the end of this parable, the prodigal has been restored to a right relationship with his father, but the elder brother has become estranged from them both. He refused to share in his father's joy and to accept the return of his brother. He shut himself out of the celebration. We don't know the outcome of this story, but countless family relationships we know have ended over much less. When we remember how Christ spoke to the woman at the well, or how Jesus forgave sinners, we know that no one is in the position of being a self-righteous judge. And we reflect on this during this Lenten season in order so that we may waken ourselves up from the prideful illusion that we are somehow already perfect and thus justified in holding grudges and refusing to be reconciled with our enemies, even if those enemies might happen to be our own spouses, parents, children, or siblings. Both the prodigal and the older brother needed to be reconciled with their father. The same is true of each and every one of us. And during this Lent, we gain the spiritual strength to do so through the practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We need to partake of the sacraments, especially confession and Eucharist. These are the tools to help us come to ourselves, to wake us up, and to lead us back to a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. No matter where we identify more, whether it be with the older or the younger son, our Lord's calling to us is essentially the same. Come home. Come home and join in the great celebration of the heavenly kingdom. For in Jesus, that kingdom is at hand.